remarkable gospel of rich man and Lazarus. And great news. We have a rich man who is clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously. And a certain man named Lazarus was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And when I hear this, I think beautiful, you can be seated at this estate, so it's a beautiful estate, and there's a road that goes up to the hill. On top of the hill is this wonderful house, and here the rich man fared sumptuously. And down at the base of the driveway, as it were, is this very, very poor man who is clearly disabled physically, and he has virtually nothing to eat. And but what beggars give, people give to the two beggars as they pass by. And he's full of sores and suffering. And it's a very powerful image. And it's, I think it's an image of what the consequences are of our lives. How are we going to live our lives? And in reality, there's nothing wrong with having wealth. The reality is what does one do with their wealth? And how does one, as it were, follow the commandments of God and the instructions of God and follow him in kindness and love and mercy? And how does that, does the rich man, as it were, recognize those who are very weak and very poor and suffering? And so it is that what's remarkable about this this parable is the beggar, Lazarus, dies, and he's gathered into the bosom of Abraham. And this is an image of paradise, it's an image of the kingdom of God and eternal life in the bosom of Abraham. Participating and being gathered up in the general resurrection at the very end. And then the rich man dies and he is cast into hell. And here he is, still conscious, which is amazing. And he can see across this abyss into the life, into the bosom of Abraham. And he sees Lazarus there and he desires to cross over the abyss. And what happens, of course, is that our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ explains that he is being judged by what his life, the life he led here in space and time. And there is no way for him to cross the abyss and enter into the bosom of Lazarus, of Abraham. And he lives a life of torments, eternal torments in hell. And I think this is a wonderful gospel to perceive the whole issue of how we live our lives, of course. And I'd like to focus on just one aspect, and that is the life of our thoughts. Obviously, one of the first things we have is to think. We see things that stimulate thought. We hear things that stimulate thought. You know, we feel things that stimulate thought. And the question is, how do we as Orthodox Christians, how do we handle, as it were, this remarkable aspect of our being that we can see, not just really with our eyes, but then in our hearts and minds we perceive. And I think that this is a very serious matter. Because thoughts have profound effect on us. And for example, you could have a thought of jealousy. And the jealousy could stir up in you resentment and perhaps even anger, and if it was taken to an extent, it might lead to theft, and it might even lead to murder. So it's amazing how the thought, which in a sense seems simple in and of itself, can lead us to these deaths. And today in our world, there's a lot to think about, as it were, and there's a lot going on, and we connect our thoughts to those things. And one wonders, how does this benefit us? And our Savior said, those things which come out of the man that defile the man, for from within our heart, from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and evil eye. Lastly, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile. And it doesn't seem to me that, I think we're all capable of understanding that our thoughts stimulate feelings. And very powerful emotions, which then cause the arousal of powerful energies that can be can then proceed forth from us and really bring about great harm. On the other hand, good and positive thoughts about the kingdom of God and the love of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Most Holy Mother of God, and all the saints, and the beauty of the Church, and its majesty, can lead us to really heights of perception and understanding of the glory of God. And so here we are, brothers and sisters in Christ, our God, at a very troubled time, and it's easy to have deep, dark, negative thoughts. And not only is it easy to have these deep, dark, negative thoughts that lead to the abyss, as it were, of darkness, where the rich man ended up. The thoughts sort of poke themselves up a little bit, and we grasp hold of them, and we explore them, and we follow them, and the pit gets deeper and deeper and dark. Does this make sense to you? And it's true, you know, because you think that even sort of like, for example, in the time of our pandemic, it's amazing because some people are able to look up and see the glory of God and make the sign of the cross and do everything they can to do to protect themselves and protect others, but they're not dragged into sort of a pit of darkness and fear. And others, somehow or other, see the calamity in our midst and become frightened. And not only frightened, but even terrified. And you think, this is an amazing thing, because it's not as though, so the thing is, where is it coming from? You know, where is this frustration, this terror, this fear coming from? And it comes from within us. That's what our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ says. That it comes from within us. And it's linked to all our passions. And really, it's the result of not having the profound, deep, experienced faith. You know, because the fact is, you know, we went in think about things a little bit and realize that we can, in fact, in the face of really grave circumstances, we can, as it were, assert within ourselves our faith. We put our faith in God and make the sign of the cross and say, well, I'm doing everything I can to protect myself and others, and God wants to take me. So be it, that I would be embraced by the love. because our faith, in a sense, is a pattern of thinking. It's how we think about reality. And as we grow in our faith, we start to realize that, you know, brothers and sisters of Christ, our God, we are already passing into the next world. It's not something that's going to happen at the end. It's already happened. We are the body of Christ. And our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, the voice of Son, is eternal, if not eternity itself. And we're united to Him. And so in a sense, if you have this pattern of faith, which are the other thoughts, it gives you the strength to resist despair and to resist dark, you know, troubling things that just cause agony and isolation. And so these thoughts have consequences. And it's also true that when we, we all make excuses, I make excuses, I'll pursue some, maybe it's a news clip or something about something very negative that seems to me to be very threatening, not only in the immediate present time, but in the long term. And, you can just feel this agitation grow within you and gather you up and these darkness. So once again, we have the ability to change the course, as it were, of our lives by controlling our thoughts. I remember when I was a child, and I tell a lot of stories from my childhood, and I usually tell all the ones that are very positive, but there are some that had some suffering involved in them. And my father was a bipolar, and he would have a couple of episodes a year, and it would really bring a lot of tension and chaos into the household for from 2 to 6 weeks. And it was just this atmosphere of just pain and suffering and struggle and what did we do wrong and self-accusation and so on. And I remember when I was about 9 years old, I had no idea how this happened, but I was lying in bed. And I concocted in my mind a fantasy. And the fantasy was that I was riding a horse at that time in the fields and then down the power lines and so on. And it lifted me right up, it lifted me up so much that I thought, wow, this is wonderful. So I would actually, when I remembered, I would try to set my mind upon something very positive as I went to sleep and follow that thread. And it lifted me up. And I was a child. I didn't know what I was doing. It just sort of happened spontaneously. And it's true in our lives. I mean, we have the ability, if we want, and if we really desire, we have the ability and the strength, and we have the Holy Spirit of God within us to help us have positive thoughts. Now, I know this, I forget who it was from a long time ago. Master of positive thinking, maybe in the 40s or 50s or something. And I'm not talking about that. But there are secular things that have some truth. But we have the grace of God. And we have faith in our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And He's with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. And so we have this. And we have the ability to turn away from it. And then turn toward that which is very, very positive, uplifting. And it can change the course of our day. And it can change the course of our life. We have prayers. When I was young, my mother used to come put me to bed, and we always said the Our Father, which is a beautiful thing. And so we have this ability to change the course of our thoughts. So I think the last thing I want to say about our responsibility and our high calling to have good, positive Christian thoughts is that thoughts don't just affect ourselves. Let's be real about it. The fact of the matter is, we know for a fact that when we become agitated, or we become dark and depressed, things which I mean, obviously there's chemical reasons, but even the chemical things often follow, actually, the action of the mind. Anyway, but when we become agitated and depressed, and we might even remain silent, people around us also, it's like it's contagious. It affects the hearts and minds of those around us. And in some ways, it's been profound, completely. It just darkens the atmosphere. And so the thing is that not only are we talking about our individually walking on this path of salvation, and you look at the church, I mean, the church is so amazing. It's, first of all, it has the Gospels, the teachings of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, the teachings of the Holy Apostles, of St. Paul, particularly. It has this marvelous history. It has, of course, the Holy Sacraments, that we are to partake of the body and blood of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. The church is itself is beautiful, this beauty. The beauty is a very positive thing. I mean, I think it's, of course, that I love, even from childhood, pursued that things that were beautiful. And it lifts you on. You walk into a space that's beautiful, and you just feel lifted up. So we have all of these things, and that God has given us, and we have the music that goes with our divine worship. And we have the holy icons, which are windows into heaven. We have all of these things that have been given to us to lift us out of darkness and to allow us to at least spend some time in light. And we need to capture that light, as it were, and bring it home. And so I think some of you know what I'm talking about, in a general sense, but I really do believe that all the conversation that goes on about the negativity, what's going on in our world, darkens the spirit. It does not lift up the spirit, it darkens it. It leads us into a dark hell. And we have to discipline ourselves and turn our minds and hearts away from it, because we are not going to change the course of our society, and we're not going to change the causes of the course by thinking about them, dwelling on them, and ruminating about them and talking about them. All it's going to do is darkness. And we need to stay on that pure and straight path of the love of our living God and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to counter every dark thought with prayer. We need to counter our passions, once again, with prayer and fasting and love, with reading the Holy Scriptures, with talking to one another about the miracle of our holy faith in all of its aspects. This is what we need to do. And by prayer, there's a chance. By prayer, there's a chance. Things can change. In the early church, now, after our Lord and God and Savior was crucified, the church, the apostles spread, they lived in a context where they were not, the Jews hated them, and denigrated them, and the Romans persecuted them. And it's in the millions of people who were killed as warriors. And yet, what history shows is in that situation, those who dwelt not upon the harshness of the civil society, but dwelt upon prayer and fasting and love and almsgiving and caring for one another, our neighbor, and so on, that they, a light came forth from them that in 300 years, which is, in history, is not a really long time, led to the conversion, not of the whole empire, but it Christianized the empire. And led to this manifestation of the church. The church became visible under St. Constantine. And order was established. And this was the result of the response to persecution, which was prayer, fasting, almsgiving, love of one another, and caring for one another. But thank God they didn't have the distractions we have through television and all the pornography and people that come through this. Their piety led to the Christianization of the Roman Empire. And what happened is, as the Christianization happened, there were many who so loved the life, the ascetical life that they had to lead in order to survive in that society, that they then started withdrawing into little monasteries in the deserts and in the mountains and on the hillsides, so that they could continue to live as they had lived prior to the Christianization. And then the dialogue, wonderful dialogue happened between the ascetics on the one hand and the pious lay people who were still in the city or the urban areas. And that dialogue, does exist to some degree. There are really good holy monasteries and where people are living that ascetic life. So, may the Lord bless us all. And may He give us the strength and the wisdom to turn our hearts and minds away from the evil and turn them toward that which has been divinely revealed as the path of salvation through our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ and His Holy Church.